And I said, do remember us in your will. But I don't know how that'll work out, but I'm just hoping for the best. We do appreciate this church family many, many times. Just y'all came through and we didn't know what we was going to do. We appreciate your giving to the work of God in Belize. This church has been a very strong backbone to our church. We appreciate that. Appreciate all the ministry that's here. I give honor to the ministry. I get to call the names. I get in trouble, but I do want to give honor to my pastor and pastor's wife. Brother Taylor is here somewhere. Oh, okay. He's busy on the phone writing up a song. But I do love my pastor and appreciate him and Sister Taylor. All these elders. Brother Weeks is one of my favorite preachers last night. He's done a tremendous job. I tell you, I enjoy hearing him preach almost every time I hear him. And I do love and appreciate him. And I realize today I'm out of my league, so I'm going to hurry up and get out of the way. I want my daughter to come. And Brother Coon, when they told me I had to preach around the same time, it scared me to death. I've always, since I was just a young child, I've admired Brother Coon and always enjoyed his preaching, and I appreciate him today. Brother Pixler, I've always enjoyed looking forward to the Word of God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. That's all I can do. Come on, sister. He was by himself. Amen. Praise God. That key sounded okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, try to see. Amen. I know the Lord will make a way. Come on there for me. I know the Lord will make a way. Wait for me, yes, Lord. If I live a holy life and shun the wrong and do what's right, hey, I know the Lord will make a way. Wait for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Oh, if I live a holy life, shall I know and do the right? I know the Lord will make a way for me. You'll take it, Christo. That's the truth. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. He'll make a way. The book of Galatians, the 6th chapter again. Appreciate the honor of being here. appreciate my family being with me. I got a new grandbaby back there and a little adopted baby God has blessed us with. And we certainly appreciate them being with us. And we drove a long ways to be in Bible study and Bible camp and to hear the word of God. Praise God. Amen. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap. If we faint not. Matthew 13 and 24. 25. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Pastor Lyles, would you pray? Everybody say amen. You may be seated, clapping your hands to the Lord. The farmer's work is never done. We understand. I've never been much into farming. I was raised in the country. My dad raised animals, and we planted. And I've about figured out, even on the mission field, I'd rather go and buy my piece of chicken or something than... But they have to get up before it even gets daylight and go to work and go to bed and after the sun sets. It's a job. It's a job continually. And then the Bible throughout the scripture will liken us to be some type of sowers, that we're to be busy about the kingdom of God sowing. And the Bible said, whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. And so we find that in our walk with God, how important it is that we sow right and not sow what? Amen. It's important that we understand that there is a time that we must get busy. I speak to saints of God here today and to the ministers, if I can, just a little bit, that there's a danger of being a weary farmer. Sometimes we get so tired. I found out that people are people wherever you go. And we get so weary. And church folks get to the place they feel like there's no use in even asking anybody back to church. People are not going to live for God. But I'm going to tell you, in the middle of it all, there's still somebody wanting to hear the word of God that will deliver. There's still some alcoholics that needs to be set free. Oh yeah, there's people backsliding and going by the way, but there's still some people out there that's hungry to hear this wonderful apostolic truth. Oh, I know the enemy is going to continually be sowing his seed and coming among us and working among us. But at the same time, mama and daddy, we've got to rear up with everything that we have and understand that it's time to wake up from our sleep. When you go to sleep and you relax any at all, that's when the enemy's coming in and he's going to corrupt the field. We've got to ask for me in my house. We will serve the Lord. Oh, fathers, it's time to take back the household. What a day that we're living in when children tell the parents what they're going to do. Somebody said, I can't go to church there. My children are not happy there. My dad had an answer for that. Amen. I said, my dad had an answer for that. I said here a while back, the dial rods and all that stuff, they thought it just started here recently, but actually way back then, dad had something that looked like a dial rod, and I'm telling you, he could move that thing around and it would just make us do things right. I've been picked up off of the pew, whipped and put down, and Dad never quit preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, my son's of age. He's got his own job. He's going to do what he wants to. As for me and my house, he's not going to have the garbage in my house. And when mamas won't back up daddy, you're asking for the hell that you're going to get. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you may be weary saying you're not going to dress that way. You're not going to go these places. You're not going to watch this. But we got a job that we got to say, hey, we can't let this go. Wake yourself up and realize that people are dying and going to hell. And we must get busy with the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That was a farmer with a lot of land in Florida. I read about man drove up in a big Cadillac and got out in his fancy suit and approached this farmer, several hundred acres of land. Brother Major, he said, I come to make you a rich man. He said, you can sell that old pickup truck, build you a new house, and you can just live nice, have plenty of money. I'm going to make you a millionaire. And he said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, we're needing land. The city has outgrown itself, and we're developing out here now. We need a place to put the Walmart and the new stores and Walgreens and all that stuff. And he said, we come to make you a good offer. And he said, no, no, I've been doing this all my life. I'm elderly now. I've been planting. I've been growing all this cabbage and all this vegetables and fruit. I've been doing this for many years, and this is what I want to do. He said, sir, you don't understand. You're behind your times. Now they got big companies that's coming in and latest technology. And with the technology, they're doing thousands of acres when you're scratching around on this little bit. He said, they got these chemicals and these seeds and they can outdo you 10 to 1. And the man said, yeah, I guess you're right. But there's still somebody wanting good fresh vegetables. And I know that the hour that we're living in, the mega church syndrome is really, really there. They got the latest technology and the latest staff and they can just pack a building out, and they got all their dances and they got all that, and that's fine if that's what you want to do. But I will tell you something, in the mega churches wanting to produce a mass crop, they lose something of freshness. God help us. That young people don't even know what a real orange tastes like. They don't even know what a real tater tastes like. It don't come out of the store. It grows in the ground. That will blow your mind, I know. But children today don't even know what the real thing is, because they got so used to the mass production. God help the apostolic church that we don't ever get to the place that we're pushing for mass production and we lose the real thing. I knew there's a call. Developers saying, we'll give you a bigger church and we'll help you with this and we'll give you more of that. But oh God, there's still somebody wanting some fresh vegetables. There's still somebody wanting a real thing. And God help us to produce. Oh yeah, it's harder. We got to bend our back and we're weary and we're tired. But God is wanting us to keep on digging and to keep on preaching and to keep on worshiping. Amen. I read recently a preacher said that there's power in the blood, and I Fly Away had its day. I'm going to tell you what, it still had its day. I appreciate old timers like Brother Morgan standing up here singing them old songs. Amen. There's something real about reaching way back. I'll tell you, power in the blood still has its day with me. I love dancing, singing, and running, but we better get to where there's a real thing. When people walk in the door, they say, something different here. When they bite into our holy carrot, they say,
This tastes different. Something ain't right. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I believe, you know, I've been through a battle with cancer myself. Cancer's everywhere. Everywhere you look, I believe it's mass production. Let me get my baptizing tank out. I'll be right back. Can't prove it all, but I believe, Elder Pace, mass production, spraying the chemicals everywhere, pumping all this stuff into the food that we eat. It's where cancer's coming from. And I also believe that in Pentecost today, the cancer that we're seeing, the infestation of cancer, and I'm not talking about of the flesh, but I'm talking about of the spirit. Where is repentance? No. All you got to do is just everybody come up here. Let's get real excited. You just go like that. Just and we'll hold your thumb up and we'll get you in the count and everything's going to be right. And we can send out a newsletter and we can call our friends and tell them 30 people got the Holy Ghost in revival. Can I just tell you something? There is a danger when we start spreading that chemical and that ungodly doctrine. It still takes old fashioned apostolic repentance and prayer and seeking God. Help us know that we cannot get weary and sell out the farm. Hey, this farm is not for sale. This farm is not for sale. I'm going to keep plowing. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep believing God. I'm going to tell you, Eli got weary of constantly trying to rebuke his sons until they was fornicating and sinning on the porch of the temple. God help us that we can raise up again and say, we will not have these things. Oh, we're looking for a real farm. We're looking for a real church. We're looking for real preaching. We're looking for real worship. Don't ever let the drum dictate to you. And don't ever let your finances dictate to you whether you're going to worship God. You need to get into the house of God and give it all that you have and magnify the Lord. Somebody say, my farm is not for sale. My farm is not for sale. I won't sell. I know that other people are, but I'm not for sale. Hallelujah. There's a problem with, I spoke briefly with my pastor this morning. I heard him preach about the hybrid seed. And the problem with it, and I'm not an expert on it, but after a couple of times of trying to use that, production begins to get all messed up. When they take it and cross-pollinate and bring these seeds together, it looks good for a while. Oh, yeah. What will you get a year or two out of it? Somebody tell me. But after that, you try to use those seeds and then you start getting a mess. It don't produce. It don't look good. And I'm going to tell you, these overnight revivals, I am a revivalist. Anybody been released to tell you? We dance, we shout, we run, we weep, we cry. But I want to be careful that I don't get something mixed up. God talked about it. He said, listen, don't let the plow and the ox, don't let the ox and the ass plow together. Don't wear diver clothes. Don't mix it together. How can two walk together except they agree? We must be so careful that, he said, then if you sow diverse seeds in the vineyard, what you're going to end up with is a defiled vineyard. I went to Belize. I thought, well, here's one over here. One of the Pastor Pace and I talked about it. His wife is from Belize. We talked about it a little bit last night. I said, well, this man here is, this man over here is interested. This man here. I found out that most of the time, somebody that's not accountable to nobody, hallelujah. You may not be an organization, but you need a man of God in your life.
Hallelujah. Wild asses go around praying all the time. But I'm going to tell you something. You get one in order. How can two walk together except they agree? I worked with a church for about 3 years. And I walked down and I finally drove up to where the pastor worked at. And I got out and said, God bless you, man. I love you. Can I just tell you something? Just don't bring your church back to our churches. Please. I know that sounds hard. But you see, when they come in and they're dancing and swaying and singing and you have to fight them off the platform and they got ear bombs on and painted hair and television. And if I offend anybody here today, I'm not sorry. But I don't want my people to be those seeds to mix together. How am I going to explain to them? Oh, no, we don't go over there to that meeting. We don't do this. We don't do, because, but you're, I'm in with them. No, I said, sir, let's just separate, okay? You go your way, and we're on different pages all together. I'm going to raise up an apostolic church. Amen. Oh, no, we may not be splashing across the screens great big things and thousands getting the Holy Ghost, but there is an apostolic church where they come to the altar, they repent of their sins, they weep on the altar, they get their sleeves right, they clean shave, they put their dresses where they are to be, the women don't cut their hair, they don't wear makeup, the men get good haircuts, they put on good godly clothes. That's because I refuse to let some kind of hybrid or something that's unreal come in. God help us. It may take us longer, but I'm not looking for mass production. I'm looking for apostolic. God help me not to judge any situation. Big head bump going right now in foreign missions because some stray elders tried to make a stand and said, we're not going to have this. Here's our standard. This is what we're going to live. This is what we're going to believe. This is what we're going to teach. And they're getting something from up high that says, you are not to preach that to them. Now, country full of ungodliness, television watching, adulterous people. Amen. People on the platform, women wearing pantsuits. This is, I'm preaching to church ministers in case you don't understand this, not to you. But here they are on the platform. My problem is, how did that ever get started to begin with? I just about have to wrestle them out, but they're not coming on the platform. Amen. I'll preach for the Trinity, but Trinity ain't going to preach for us. You want me to help you? I'll come to your place and see what I can do. But you're not going to mix your seed in with our seed. I'm telling you, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You hang around with liberals, you get a liberal church. You let liberals preach for you, you get liberal church. We trying to help them. Help them on their turf and leave them out of your pulpits because they will compromise. They will mess up the church. We must be careful that we raise up an apostolic church. Shake yourself. Wake up. Wake up. We cannot afford to go to sleep. The devil's coming. He's creeping in. He's coming in at a rapid pace and he's taking over. Somebody's still got to preach. Somebody still needs to cry aloud. We've got to tell this truth. Hallelujah. I could probably give you bigger numbers, but I have no interest. I want the fellowship of godly, holy brothers. We have a strong church today. Because of elders like you, Brother Townley coming down. Brother Lyle's supposed to come down. Missed us this time. Sick, but Brother Weeks. See, these elders,
coming into our pulpit and preaching it strong. Somebody said, we do it all in the back room. You won't get nothing done in the back room. What has helped me is when men stands in the pulpit and they preach under the anointing. I'm going to tell you, the anointing is what breaks those chains. Oh, yes, it does. The anointing preaching of God's word. I want men of God to stand and preach. I'm going to hurry and get on out of the way. Can I tell you, when you feel like that there's no hope for revival, and you feel like this place is burnt over, people are backsliding, there's still somebody. There is a booming business today in the organic growth fruits and vegetables. Oh, yes, it's a multi-billion dollar business because people are wanting something pure and real and untainted. And they're still in the apostolic church. People have put up with fake garbage for years. They have heard these orators stand up and these Jakes type of preaching make it feel good and everything's okay. There still needs to be sacrifice and preaching. There still needs to be repentant preaching. There still needs to turn your back on sin preaching. We can't get weary. I know there's a mass production going on, but there's still some apostolic farmers that's digging and they digging and they plowing. Hey, farmer, get a hold of your plow and set that plow in and begin to move and begin to clean and begin to work. And every so often you'll hit a stone and you throw it to the side and you keep going and you hit another stone and you throw it to the side. But I heard in the Bible, in the middle of the field, there is a treasure. Hey, come here, Jose. Hurry. I said, we plowed along. We fought the drunks. We fought the drug addicts. We had the prostitutions come. But in the middle of the field, I reached down. I set my plow and I hit a treasure. Out of the back of a bar room, there came a young man that travels with me today. He's an interpreter. He come from a bar room. Keep on plowing. Keep on plowing. Keep on plowing. Keep on working. I said we gotta keep working. In everybody's field of labor, set your plow and get busy. There is a treasure. Get you some cold water. Wake yourself up and get busy. God has somebody that wants to hear this word. Amen. Would you be seated? I lost, I'd say, around 16 people recently because I said, you can't do this. Here's the way it's going to be. One young preacher said he'd heard all his life preachers make a statement. You look just as good leaving as you do coming. And he said 70 people walked out and he found out that was the biggest lie he'd ever heard. They don't look good leaving. Sometimes we got to set the plow. And say, as for me in this house, they walked out, and I look for a high bridge, there's none. I said, you know what? I'm just going to keep preaching. Following service, I look, and the back pews were full of visitors. Altar service, here come people seeking God. I have a young man, 6 years ago, I preached in his church when I first went there. He is a recording artist. He can play just about any instrument. He's a music teacher. He's in demand all over that country. He comes walking in our back doors about a month ago. His church never responded. They act like they wanted to get baptized in Jesus' name, but they never did. This boy come walking in, and he said, "I remembered something about your family. And I remember about what you preach." Right when I think, well, we're not getting anywhere, here comes this young man. I'm talking about he can play guitars, drums, everything. And very, very good singer. And he said, "I remember that. And I've been seeking, and every time I look in the Bible, I see that Jesus name baptism that you're talking about. I want to be baptized." Again, when I first went, we kept the baptizing just boom, 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 boom. And then they'd leave and I'd come back. I believe in fruits meet for repentance. That's just me, but baptized babies till I look like a slobber rag. Or not baptized, but dedicate. Finally said, "Well, no way, we're not going through some kind of religious rituals. That's no salvation in that. That's the roots of, you know what?" And I said, "We're not going to do that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to see you live for God." I told this young man, he said, "Well, I got this concert and this concert." I said, "No, no, if you want to live for God, just shut it down. Come sit on the pew and listen to teaching. You want to sing in the choir?" "No, no, no." We was asked by Destiny Radio, "Musicians, would you come?" We was asked by Destiny Radio to present our choir. God has blessed us with a good choir now. And they asked us if we would present our choir. So we went to Destiny Radio, a big crowd of people there. And our people started unloading off the bus, clean shaven. I don't care what they say about culture. Pentecostal preaching works. Apostolic preaching works. Listen, this, long sleeves in the tropics. Women had to dress below their knees in the tropics. Anyway. The owner of the radio station said, "There's something different about your people. They all look so good." And he didn't realize, but what he was seeing was the absence of the world. All that garbage running around. Here's some people that's come out from among them and become separate. And we presented, he looked and he saw this young man. He said, "You mean, hey, he's in your church?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, he'd be doing something tonight." I said, "No." Now, it may be stupid. Y'all maybe throw everybody on the platform. The elder talked about all them playing the guitars. I remember the whole stage was nothing but guitars. I remember the bad spirits when all the electric ones come out. They was all having a contest. And the boys with the box guitars, they wanted to fight. But I said, "No, no, he's just sitting, taking teaching." He said, "You don't use him?" I said, "No, no." "You see," he said, "well, and I explained to him why we don't just throw people on the platform. And sometimes, help me not to judge, but sometimes if we don't start something, we don't have to deal with it later." Yeah, but they're professional musicians. They can be professional at the house in their living room. I think professionals what's messed us up a lot of times. I'm about to sit down, Brother Kuna, straighten all this out, but I said, "You know, here's the reason we do what we're doing. We got a clean church. Oh, we have problems like everybody else, Brother McDaniels. But at the same time, even when I get so weary, I realize if I turn it into mass production, I'm going to have a mess down the road. I'd like to tell you we built 100 churches this year and our projection and all this stuff. My projection is just to get people founded. We have a Christian school with 40 or 45 students in it. They take apostolic doctrine every year. What are we doing? I'll tell you what. There will be a day when those kids become of age and those young men that I'm holding down and not throwing out, they'll be ready to go, but they'll have a real seed. They'll have a real word. And every kind of garbage that comes along is not going to sweep them. How many millions and millions of dollars have been lost because of this mass production in foreign missions and home missions and churches? Mass production.
Some of these elders, let's get them out of the way where we can make some changes. No. We need you. I need my pastor. I love my pastor. Thank God for that elder. Amen. I'd say, if you see something wrong with me, tell me. I can't afford to let something come in. There's a cancer in Pentecost. It is from mass production and trying to draw the crowds and have all the theatrics. God help us that we can get back to old-fashioned singing and preaching and worship. Would you stand? I'm tired and I'm so weary. But I must go along. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. No matter how tired you are, I got to keep going. The church, hey parents, your family hinges off of what you're going to do. It's so much easier. Just let them do it here. Here's the keys to the car. Here's your money. Here, churches, do what you want to. See you Wednesday. See you Sunday. No. We got to get back to old-fashioned prayer. An old-fashioned fasting. An old-fashioned preaching. We got to have the word of God. There's a danger of the weary farmer. When you go to sleep, sir, and when you go to sleep, ma'am, the enemy will come. You've got to stay awake. There is somebody who will shake themselves and say, though I'm weary, I will wake up and I will go to battle. I can't afford to let down. I can't afford to go to sleep. Hey, you can't slumber and sleep. You that watches over Israel, we've got to wake up. We got to wake up. Let's get rid of the mass production and get back to old time apostolic worship. Old time apostolic preaching. I'm hungry for that. I refuse to let anything less. I'm not looking for fellowship that's got all the answers in the seminar. Just give me old time apostolic preaching. Come to this seminar. That's all fine, I guess. But really, when it's all said and done, we need some men in the pulpits. Pounding. There's cancer. There's toxics in Pentecost. There's chemicals that's corrupting and defiling in Pentecost. But in the middle of that, there's some elder A.L. Lowes that said, let's have a Bible conference with men of God in the pulpit that will bring other men of like precious faith that still loves holiness, that still loves holiness, that still loves preaching. Come on, let's worship God together. Come on, praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Brother Harrington, come to the platform, please.